So you decided to mark your mortal coil.
Yes. Yeah.
I got so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all inked up now. I got a tattoo.
So it's finished, yep. And you have put your mark on your own body.
Yes.
And you made you got a tattoo of a whale.
I got a tattoo.
What does it say?
It says the sea hates a coward, and it's art from a Korean cigarette packet. I think I mentioned before.
Yeah,
it's a whale floating through space, surrounded by some like sailor's ropes and a ship's wheel. And yeah, that is how I've chosen to mark myself.
Okay, so you feel that the whale is obviously not a coward. No one would accuse a whale of being a coward.
No, I feel like the whale more represents the sea. The whale's okay. More like the sea sort of enforcer in this situation.
Okay, enforcer.
Yeah.
You know, I've had frequent dreams, and I guess I would call them nightmares because I'm always terrified. Like whales coming up suddenly into a space that I assumed previously to be whale free. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly like a giant whale like comes out of water. Usually, I think that's where they usually
come usually from. That's usually where they are, yeah.
And then they're like rearing up in the way that whales really don't mm-hmm. do. And terrifying me. So I admire your moxie.
Thank you.
What did you think about being at the finale? I know we talked at the very beginning about, in 8 weeks, who knows where we'll be?
Turns out it's here. There was a scene at the end of one of the bakes. I think it was the signature. Or it might have been the technical because there was booze. Where they called time and then all the bakers just kind of did a shot together.
Yes.
And that really resonated with me. That really said to me, like, we don't care that there's a television show going on around us right now. We are just people in a situation and we are going to be human people together. And like like the situation around us cannot tell us what to do or how to be or what our roles are. We're doing a shot together.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that was a really nice moment.
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to do shots.
This is not an earth-shattering take, but it's super interesting to see people's families and their different families and their different kind of ways of being. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the tent is wearing like nice logo free clothes and a beige apron with their name on it, and maybe has some like semi-professional makeup on, just a little dusting.
Yep.
And is well lit and well shot. And that kind of has, I don't know, like a flattening effect or a a homogenizing effect.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's super interesting to see like old family photos of people and Steve with a little goatee and no glasses and Vincent with his family and Amy with her multi-generational family.
Right. They look more
right.
Real.
These people are from all different parts of the country and they're from all different families. And we all come together to do this sort of common thing in this common context, but from different places.
Right. And Amy, to talk about her for a second, she was a childhood baker. So they talk about how she got started when she was a little girl, baking with her mom. And then she had her sort of extended family there talking about her. And I thought, you know, and speaking as a baker, I find that baking can be a way of showing your feelings, occasionally burying your feelings mm-hmm. deep inside a cake, mm-hmm. But also being able to, I'm going to say control what people think about you, but that's not quite right. But it's a way of presenting yourself and your offering in a way to influence the people who are there. You want to make them happy.
Right.
You want to make them happy, right? And I could see how a little girl would want to make the people around her happy, her family, right? That kind of seemed to be that was something that I was reading into that situation, maybe a little.
There's a real energy to being the kid, the sibling, with a primary characteristic. Like, mm-hmm. like she, it seemed like she took up baking at around like age 10
yeah.
and pretty much became the one that made everybody's birthday cake.
Right.
And I imagine that just guessing from the human condition that that might have been a bit of a journey for her. Like, first something that you kind of lean into as a way to please people and to make them happy around you, and right. then maybe push back against a little bit. Or maybe right. she has not reached that part of her journey yet.
She's I'd going like to see go some off of to a turtle bakes. Sanctuary.
Yeah.
What would be a disgusting bake that would push back against people? like a durian bake.
Yeah.
Like, here, yeah. I hope you enjoy it, if you can.
That three hour scone you're trying to make for your father-in-law.
Yes, exactly.
So when you're on the Great Canadian Baking Show, when you're on the Great Canadian Baking Show, there's a chance that you might get a Robin Hood or a Dairy Farmers of Canada commercial.
That's right.
And it's not necessarily the winner, it's usually a finalist on the show that right. gets the commercial.
Yeah, I think some people are into it, and then also some people are better at it than other people.
And I don't know, but I don't imagine that booking a Robin Hood commercial nets you a life-changing amount of money.
No.
But maybe it helps pay off a house somewhere not in Vancouver, Montreal, or Toronto.
Yep.
I'm curious how much of a long-lasting life event that would be for a person.
Yeah. Right. Especially when you compare it to, say, British Bake Off,
yeah.
where some of the more controversial or more notorious bakers have become like their own celebrity. They've been on Dancing with the Stars, and there's Daily Mail pictures of them looking drunk.
Right.
You know, like, it's so different the way that Canada thus far has handled its baking show participants.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're not, there's no ticker tape parade, no photo of you on the cover of the Toronto Sun.
That's right. Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, should we get into the bakes?
Let's
do you have any other thoughts about this before we get started?
Let's do an intro.
Oh yeah.
Those
right.
We should do those. Hello, my name is Richard Platel.
And I'm Liz Walker.
And this was and continues to be the Bake Canadian Takeoff, a podcast about the Great Canadian Baking Show.
It still is. It still is.
Yeah. Finale.
Today we watched the finale.
Yes. Could we get a relaxed bake? Is a relaxed bake possible?
Are you questioning the competitive nature of the baking show?
I guess I'm always questioning the competitive nature of the baking
show.
Yeah.
I think you are. I think you're asking, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, why do we got to fight at a time like this?
Who controls this clock anyway?
Time is an artificial construct. It's
That's
something
right.
we invented as part of the Industrial Revolution.
Right. I was thinking more about capitalism and its discontents this season, mm-hmm. watching everybody run mm-hmm. around and you know, baking for these mysterious judges with their
mysterious demands.
Mysterious demands.
And their mysterious criteria for what
yeah.
whether or not you are a good person.
Yeah, yeah. And I was feeling the question. Mm-hmm. Why do we gotta do this? Do these shows inevitably hurtle towards painful conflict?
I think it's hard to have a narrative without conflict. That
right.
might be a very male heteronormative view. But it is hard to have a narrative television show without conflict of some kind. But could it not be person v doe and not person v person?
Well, dough is a commodity, Rich. And as a commodity, it's always supposed to be the same. And if it's same, then it's predictable.
Mm. Has that been your experience?
I think so, generally, especially if you're baking with Robin Hood baking.
Mm, that's true,
with
yes.
Robin Hood flour.
The magic is in the making.
But if you think about like pre-industrialized flour and ingredients, which would be more tied to specifics of place and time, mm-hmm. then truly the challenge would be with the ingredients themselves. Like if you're baking over an open fire, you are in conflict with your circumstances.
So what you're saying is in an industrial or post-industrial society where everyone has access to exactly the same means of production and exactly the same ingredients, the only conflict is between the workers.
Yes,
that capitalism manufactures a conflict between the workers because...
Oh no, what did we do? Oh no, Rich.
Let's talk moose tarts.
You know, they said that the key to success was flawless timing.
Yes. The brief for the signature challenge this week was to make a complicated, fancy mousse tart with at least a gelée layer and a mousse. And all three bakers, I think, delivered on that brief pretty brilliantly.
I think they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really into this. I thought they all looked really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Steve had his like Mexican design, his lime and the coconut, which I felt that was very Steve.
Yes, yeah, with a nice, again, kind of just skirting the edge of Van Art design,
yes.
Palm tree design.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about Steve's work is that I find his designs very human. They have the touch of Steve about them.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You look at that and you say, that's a Steve.
Whereas Vincent's work is very restaurant-y looking.
Yes, yep, that's
his
true.
His stuff, he had a Mojito Madness kind of beautiful looking, like with these...
Swooping
things, these architectural standing up things. Yep. I don't know what they were made of, but yep. They were white and they were beautiful. And it looked like you would order that in a restaurant.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Cool. Yeah, that was a display piece for sure.
And then Amy has the very Instagram-y, very detail-oriented. She had a sweet pea, strawberry, mint garden
yes.
full of slugs, which
yeah.
you're like, I'm not sure
snails.
I would want to
snails.
Eat. Sorry, you're right. I wouldn't want to eat them, but like, you know, it was challenging in a certain way because she was playing with different kinds of flavors mm-hmm. and she was introducing insects.
Yes, right.
into her bake.
Big risk, big payoff for Amy. She took the risk of trying some pretty weird flavors of peas and strawberries in a sweet mousse dessert. And that paid off for her.
Yeah, despite the fact that her pastry was too thin and was yes. disintegrating.
Yeah, she had a...
They didn't care.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta have something good and something bad to say for the edit.
It's true. Yeah. Vincent's gorgeous mojito thing didn't have enough rum somehow, or the rum flavor wasn't coming through.
Yeah, the alcohol was coming through, but the rum flavor wasn't coming through.
What's that? I don't even understand how that happens.
I mean, he's not responsible for providing the rum. That is provided to him, so.
Man. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was a shot of Vincent drinking from a beer bottle that had one of the show like anonymous brandless
yeah.
labels on it, and he yeah. was like, this isn't a beer, ha 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 ha. But it wasn't. I freeze framed it. It was a bottle of ginger beer.
Right.
So it wasn't a beer.
It wasn't a beer. That's right, because yeah. he made little ginger beer jellies.
Yes.
That went on top, yeah.
yeah.
But I was
that,
watching
I think
that.
He actually made little cutouts for them. I think the jellies like
yeah.
slotted into little holes in the top, which I thought was a nice little extra touch.
Frankly, unnecessary touch.
Yeah. yeah.
But that's like that's the element that he always goes for. Like, it's funny how he was saying his hands are always shaking when he's putting his pieces together. Mm-hmm. But because he has so many like little details, and he has like obviously a very definite vision of how things are going to look.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Whereas I'm just speaking for myself personally, it's always a little bit more like, well, that's how that turned out.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Same.
I'd like to practice a little more intentionality in the kitchen, but, you know, I got a life to lead too.
Right. I think at the end of the day, Amy was pretty clearly the winner in the signature challenge this week.
Everyone did so great. Like, everyone's bake had something good and a little criticism about it.
Yeah, no, there were everyone pulled off their vision for the signature. There were no lemons in the signature.
You know, this also keeps them open for maintaining a sense of tension. If everyone's got a little, like, really good and a little note,
yeah,
then when you're going into the technical, it's still anybody's game.
Yes, for sure.
Right. So, and the technical was bananas. No, it was lemons. Delizia al limone.
Delizia al limone. Crazy little, very French-looking blob of a pastry with just so many fiddly little things in it.
Well, there's a lemon sponge and lemon whipped cream and lemon curd and lemon pastry cream and limoncello syrup.
Yes.
I had to write them all down.
Yep.
Yeah. An Italian treat from the Amalfi Coast.
Yes, yes. That is a tourism brochure I have longingly looked over many times.
I have too, and instead bought a bottle of that Amalfi gin.
Yep. It's just as good.
Watching the technical, I made a note to myself to buy a silly liqueur for Christmas.
I'm just gonna put a clean edit point before I say this, in case we want to cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boob, right? This pastry? It's a boob. It's like a
Yeah,
we don't need to say it, but that's a boob.
That's a boob.
It's like a champagne glass.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
These had potato starch in them, which is not a dessert ingredient I think about a lot, but I guess it's structural.
Yeah, I've never used it. I have a bottle of it in my cupboard that I bought for just in case.
Right, sure.
If I have a potato starch emergency.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened yet, thank goodness. But, you know, 2022 is coming, so.
Once again, a lot of fingers in this bake, a lot of presence of touching and getting your hands all over it. I mean, they kind of hung a hat on it in the introduction, saying, like, don't be afraid to get dirty on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. But also gross.
Yeah. A little bit. Last episode or two episodes ago, there was a technical with some booze in it and everyone got dinged for not using enough of the booze.
Not enough. They said, use the whole jar.
I think everyone got that note for this technical. I think everyone dumped that whole thing of limoncello in there.
Absolutely. There was another thing that was interesting. When Amy was talking to Anne about the instructions, which said freeze for a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But of course, they don't tell you what that significant amount of time is. And Amy says, in this show, it's as long as possible.
Right.
You know. I thought was interesting, the way that when you're in the tent, you, after like 20, well, at that point, 22 bakes, you're understanding the instructions that you're being given.
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn
how to read between the lines on the technical.
Exactly. See the code. Everybody hates doing the technical
because
it's so hard.
Yes.
And so when they finished this technical, they all looked grateful.
Yeah, grateful that it was over.
Grateful that it was over.
Yeah.
Yes. I really felt for Vincent watching him, because when it was over, Steve gave a little chef kiss, and Vincent just sort of stood there looking like maybe he might barf.
We've talked before about the psychological toll that this entertainment extracts from the participants, and maybe vetting people on a resiliency scale before letting them be on the show.
Right.
But if looking like you're going to barf and verbalizing it that way is your way of venting pressure, then you know, that's fine. And if it makes me uncomfortable, that's something I need to look at.
There's many ways of baking.
Yeah.
You know, I thought with the little vignettes of people in their home life. I really liked the way that Steve's family talked about his baking. It seemed like it was something about their dad, not saying a midlife crisis, but changing. You know, he talked about how he lost a lot of weight and he started this baking. And it seems like it's kind of this thing that he's ambitious for. And it's his family really supports him in that. And I thought the way that he modeled taking care of himself mm-hmm. and obviously taking care of his family had a big impact on his kids. You know, they could see what being an adult was like.
Right.
That was my husband. Seeing him change, seeing him be ambitious, seeing him become an ambitious baker mm-hmm. had obviously an impact on them, like an emotional impact
yes,
on them.
Yeah.
In all the ways. Which it was just really, really great. I thought that was really touching, and I really liked seeing that.
Seems like you're saying Steve was a champion before he even set foot in the tent.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. That too. Man hit a bear.
Yeah. And he and the bear were fine.
Fine. Let's talk about the showstopper, Rich.
Wait, we should say how the technical turned out.
Oh, shit. You know, there's only three people, so the technical at this point feels almost...
Perfunctory.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened? We had a winner.
Yeah. So Amy's Delizia de Limon were the best Delizia de Limon. Then Vincent, and then Steve. There was no hiding crimes on this one. Everything was on the table there. This was not a technical where you could kind of get it kind of right.
No, it's true. Yeah, there were so many design elements. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those technicals where, like, it's a thing. And it has to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And if it's not that way, then it is wrong.
Design elements, and they're all kind of stacked, right? Like,
yes.
Like,
yeah,
you have
stacked.
To, like when they were judging Steve's, they were like, you had the right amount of filling, but your cake couldn't contain it.
Right.
Whereas Vincent's, I think, was good cake, but not enough filling.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like being a person. You can have the best intentions in the world, but if your cake can't hold all the right amount of filling, you're going to disappoint people.
No, that's right. And then Amy had trouble with, like, her pastry cream, I think, was maybe too thick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, that's not really.
No, that's not really
worst.
A thing. That's
not the
no,
worst.
They had to give her a note.
Right.
So I guess
it was really tough.
I guess this is a good finale technical. It's a defined thing that you can judge people on, and it's super hard, and you can't hide your crimes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now I want one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll have to go into our podcast Petty Cash and do a trip to the Amalfi Coast.
Done. What did you think about this showstopper as an idea?
So the brief was to make a cake that presented your baking journey, whatever that means for you. And they said, we want all of you. We want your entire soul in this bake. We want your start of your baking career right up until yesterday afternoon. So please, please just do that in 4.5 hours, and then we'll judge you on it.
Okay, so this whole season we've been talking about cake as this, as a commodity, mm-hmm. as a vehicle for ideas, replication, and simulation. Mm-hmm. And so now you're basically invent yourself in cake form.
Right, yeah.
Symbolic cake form. And
what
we will
somebody,
decide if we like it or not.
What if somebody did like a bust of themselves or something?
Well, you know, it's interesting that nobody did. So that's not where the edge of cake baking is out on the internet. It's out in the TikToks.
Right.
This is television. This is broadcast.
This is our public broadcaster.
That's right. So the illusions are going to be gentle,
mm-hmm.
to my mind.
Yes.
So nobody sliced into a head.
Right, right.
There was no birthing cakes.
There's a funny little friction for me in that everyone told their baking journey in the way you would, in sort of like foundation at the bottom and then getting mm-hmm. more refined as you go up.
Right.
But because of the way you eat a cake, the way it was judged was top down. So it started fanciest, most recent thing, and then regressed into everyone's childhood.
I mean, it's kind of like a therapy session.
Hmm.
You know, and now we're going to talk about your teen years. Right. And now we're going to talk about your childhood. Tell me about your parents.
So for me going into this, like no one flubbed the signature or the technical. So it was anyone's game. Nobody was out. Yep.
But
I really felt like it was Amy's to lose. I felt like
I felt that too.
Like I think she won the signature, whatever that means, and she came first in the technical. And unfortunately, again, because of this late stage capitalism, clock driven world in which we live in, she ran out of time and didn't achieve the cake she intended to.
Now, I wanted to say, Amy is like 20 years old.
Right.
So she has more time ahead of her.
Right, right.
And so someday, I feel very confident that she is going to finish that third tier.
Metaphorically?
Both.
Yes.
Both. Maybe she doesn't yet have a third tier to bake about.
this challenge is unfair to her.
Exactly.
It'd be funny if somehow like right in the middle of the cake, just sort of like cleanly separating two layers, there was somehow like a plastic bear toy or something. Like, sort of, this is my baking pre-bear, this is my baking post-bear.
Well, for sure. His dessert tower, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. I want, do dessert towers exist? I'm kind of assuming they do. Mm-hmm. It's a concept that you then slot things into, right?
Right.
So I thought that was cool. But if it starts with childhood, and he said that the first thing that he ever baked was he wanted to make some chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the top with the milfoy, which is, and he's got the names of all the bakers, that clearly represents the layer of the baking show.
Yes, yeah.
Right? And he's got a butterfly on top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Steve's symbolism owes a lot to tattoos. And, you know,
I feel like we're being really hard on Steve.
I love him. Come on. I just feel like I know him. I find him very relatable. Right. You know, the butterfly is the symbol of the soul.
Right.
On top of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? On top of the dessert tower. Yeah. So I feel like you could definitely see where his dessert tower was going. However, God, I just felt for him in particular, it felt like four separate judgings.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Like just dang. Like, yeah. And you're just by necessity, you're not going to nail every layer.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And then the final bake is Vincent's.
Vincent's journey to elegance.
What do you think elegance means?
I think elegance implies the appearance of ease, the appearance of a light touch, of Ooh. Being effortlessly put together.
Mm-hmm.
But also sort of effortly impressive, like put together and correct and effortlessly.
Right. A tremendous amount of effort put into making it look like it maybe fell out of Joan Collins' hat box.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was really, again, like very restaurant-y looking. Mm-hmm. It looked like something that you would order at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So unlike a dessert tower, which is a concept that you slot things into, mm-hmm. this was just like, it looked like the special cake that you get at a special place.
It was a coherent piece.
It was design-wise very coherent. And it looked like something from the 80s. Like, I wasn't joking about the Joan Collins thing. Yeah. I just felt that, like, it had a kind of, like, fancy 80s restaurant kind of look about it that I thought was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And Vincent's sort of story was more sort of complexity of ingredients and flavors. So he started with a banana hummingbird cake, then went up to like a pineapple basil cake, and then a creme caramel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of his journey.
Right. And the idea behind the caramel cake, I think, was that it was sort of be a part of the other layers. Yeah,
the caramel sauce would drizzle into the other layers.
Right, which is also conceptually very cool.
Right.
I mean,
and also shows how our present perceptions color our interpretation of the past.
Ooh, rich. they didn't kind of show us all the pieces as it was coming together.
No.
I felt that his cake was the most off camera. I really felt that they were building like a reveal.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we got a lot of shots of Vincent in action, but not a lot of shots of his bake in progress.
That's right. Yeah. Whereas we saw a lot of what was going on with Amy. Mm-hmm. I think we saw a lot of what was going on with Steve. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason for it, because the reveal was great, because that cake was spectacular.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
It was flawless.
So I ended up watching this episode twice. I watched it last night when it became available on Gem, and just kind of watched it without taking notes or thinking about doing a podcast or anything.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
Which was neat. And then I watched it again this morning taking notes. And on to watchings, the conclusion of the Showstopper Challenge seemed pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Amy was going into it ahead, but did not finish.
I think not having that third tier, like you've said it before, like if you don't finish, it's kind of over.
The part you turn in can be as good as you want, but did not finish. Steve turned in a full bake and a fully ambitious concept, but just had a bunch of like a little technical issue with every layer. And Vincent just achieved what he wanted to achieve.
Right. With tremendous personal effort.
Yes. Yeah. 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 No, like, Vincent left everything on the stand mixer there.
He really did.
And as of right now, he is the very best baker in Canada.
Congratulations, Vincent.
Congratulations, Vincent. Always, always one of my favorite parts to see all the bakers again.
Yes. I mean, there was a lot of hugging.
Yes.
Yeah. And Stephen dancing.
Yeah.
Shimmying. Yeah. It's funny how I kind of forgot. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's funny how I kind of a little bit forgot. I was like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
I remember their faces.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever get a celebrity Canadian bake-off?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, we should.
Who's your top three? Drake, Justin Bieber, probably a Raptor, probably a Toronto Raptor.
Gosh, this is a really good question, Rich. Do you have some? It was your question.
Yeah. Well, Drake. I want Drake.
You want Drake on there.
Yeah. You can make little owl cookies. Maybe a Letterkenny.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think I'd like to see Margaret Atwood in the tent.
Yes. Yeah.
I think she'd have some really interesting conceptual stuff.
Yeah.
I think she'd be very funny.
Oh, and then she's like she's running out of time, and then Drake helps her, and then
Can you imagine? You can just see the picture of like Drake, like, and her like bent over a plate, putting some gold leaf on something.
Yep. Well, this is a good idea.
I mean, proper television. If you're listening, make it so. Well, this has been the Baked Canadian Takeoff. I forget what you say after that.
You can find us online at Baked Canadian, and our theme music is Dog Politics by Elvis Harris.
Don't you love the music, Rich?
I do love the music.
I love it more and more each season.
I think about when we were getting started on this, and I was like, what about these 10 completely inappropriate and ridiculous things? And you were like, maybe this one, though? I was like, well, okay, try it. We'll see you next week for the holiday special.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.